Yeah, first of all, giving honor to God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Also giving honor to the senior bishop, Bishop Vernon Kennebrew, our national president, Bishop Lindsey Jones, and to all the board of bishops, to the district chairman, pastors, leaders, my brothers and sisters in Christ, good evening. I am so honored to be here with you. Thank you, Bishop Cajot, for the opportunity to share for a few minutes. I am humbled to be following these powerful words of inspiration that my colleagues have given over the last number of weeks. I feel inadequate to the task. I want to take a moment to thank my wonderful wife, Dr. Shonda Allen Hill, for the introduction. I feel inadequate to even walk in the words that she has given. But for the time I have, I was tasked to take a few minutes. Bishop Cajot told me 3 to 5 minutes. I don't even know if that's possible for me, but 3 to 5 minutes to frame our time of prayer and devotion. So allow me to share with you some thoughts on our text. The words that I was tasked with framing is, "It is finished." When I was growing up, my dad would drive us around in this blue Chevy Love truck. It was his truck. It was a truck, and it was a bit of a work truck, if you can imagine. And while the truck had charm, it lacked a few things, and one of the things that it lacked was a functioning radio. And so I would, in times of travel, there was often times when there wasn't talking, but there was nothing to really listen to either. So my brother and I would often take naps or just, close our eyes and just wait the trip out. But in the process, my dad would often sing to himself, or I would hear him sing as he was driving. And one of the songs that he kept singing over and over was one of his favorite songs. And he would sing over and over as we drove to school and back home. He would sing the song, "I Am Happy with Jesus Alone." He probably didn't know that his sons were listening, but we were. And listening, it shortly became one of my favorite songs too. I could sing it and hear him singing as even now. I could hear him saying, "There is nothing so precious as Jesus to me, and let earth with its treasures be gone. I'm rich as can be with my Savior. I see I am happy with Jesus alone. I'm happy with Jesus alone. I'm happy with Jesus alone. Though poor and deserted, thank God I can say I'm happy with Jesus alone." The song touched me and encouraged me, and it was one of the greatest gifts I think my father ever gave me, was the gift of the love for Christ, but the gift of love for this song. But let me admit that as I was growing up, now looking back over the course of my life, I believe that I have misunderstood the lesson of this song. And maybe someone on this call did too. The misunderstanding of this song for me is found within the view of Jesus as a consolation prize. "After mother and father forsake me below, after my bed upon earth be a stone." I used this song to comfort me after the things I wanted or the results I desired failed. After life didn't work out in the way that I wanted or I could find consolation that at least Jesus still wanted me. Jesus became my anesthesia that numbed me to the hurt of rejection, loss, and defeat. After breakups, I was happy with Jesus alone. After layoffs, I was happy with Jesus alone. Loved ones died, I'm happy with Jesus alone. After everything else had failed me, I still had Jesus. He was the backup plan when life let me down. And while it is true that God is there when everyone and everything else disappoints, that's not the greatest message of the song. And no other point and no other scripture reinforces the real message of this song more than these last words of Jesus. Jesus declares at the end of our crucifixion story the words, "It is finished." Now, what does this have to do with the message of the song? The reason that I can be happy with Jesus alone is found within the complete sufficiency of Christ. Everything that you have needed, need now or will ever need, is found within Jesus Christ. Jesus is not the consolation prize. He is the prize. Jesus isn't the backup plan. He is the plan. And if he is sufficient, that means everything else outside of him is at best a distraction and at worst a detriment. And we have chased everything else but Jesus. We have chased our careers. We have chased the things of the world. We have chased them. We have chased, and many of them good things. We have chased them hoping that we could find sufficiency in them, but there is no sufficiency in them. If he is sufficient, then everything outside of him is at best a distraction and at worst a detriment. You cannot truly be happy with Jesus alone until you truly comprehend the power of the message, it is finished. Perhaps the greatest message that Jesus ever preached was here on the cross in just these three words, it is finished. Maybe the greatest lesson that he leaves with us as believers today, it is finished. Perhaps the greatest thing we can pass over and encourage one another is in the words, it is finished. Maybe the sum total of the entire thing is it is finished. It is living and walking in the finished work of Jesus Christ. You cannot truly be happy with Jesus alone until you truly comprehend the power of it is finished. It is the living, it is the walking in the finished work of Jesus Christ that I find my true happiness in Jesus alone. So the question begs for us is how do we walk in the finished work of Christ? Allow me just these three simple steps, and then I'm finished. Just these three simple steps that I want us to ponder under the story of it is finished. Here's the first thing that I beg of you as my brothers and sisters in Christ, as if we are to live in this true happiness of Jesus alone and his sufficiency, is first, recognize that it is finished. You've got to recognize that it is finished. Jesus doesn't say, this part is finished. Jesus doesn't say, my part is finished. Jesus says it. The sum total of it all is finished. Nothing outside of God's plan for eternity remains unfinished. Jesus completes everything that was to be completed at that point. It is perhaps hard for us to comprehend because we are trapped by the bondage of linear time. The way we measure finished is by the clock. The game is over when there is no time left on the clock. Our year is over when we run out of calendar. The workday is over when the day is over. We are constrained by time. But Jesus is declaring here on the cross that he is not constrained by those same limits. In him, there is no tomorrow or yesterday. And here he declares it is finished before time has a chance to argue. When he says it is finished, he tells us not to worry about the constraints of time. Can I encourage you this evening, my brothers and sisters, that the story is not over until God declares it's over, that time is not controlling him. The game in life is not finished until God declares it is finished, that everything that is supposed to be has already been. Your tomorrow has been written before you saw your yesterday. Every move and countermove has been made. It is simply being revealed to you now. You are living in a story already written and completed. When we encourage ourselves, we understand that just because it looks in this constraint of time, we can look back and say, no, Jesus says the story is finished. You may be in the middle of it, and you may be worried how it's going to end, but the story is finished. Which brings me to the next step, that secondly, if we are to receive, it is finished. If the first step is to recognize it is finished, then the second one, of course, is to receive that it is finished. If the finished work of Jesus is true, then what he has finished is better than anything you can finish by yourself. The plans for God for your life is perfect. The path for your destiny is complete and good. Nothing that you will find outside of the finished work is better than what God has for you. The call to holiness is the call for us to receive the blueprint for this finished work. Holiness is not a set of rules to keep us down. Holiness is God's call through Christ to receive and obtain the good and the perfect will of God that can only be made available in the finished work of Christ. When he declared, "It is finished," he gave you and me permission to walk in it. There was no more waiting for him. The entire earth waited on Christ to appear. The Old Testament is a story of people and earth waiting for Christ to appear. The entirety of the Old Testament points toward the appearance of Christ. The entirety of the New Testament points back to the appearance of Christ. The entire earth waited on Christ to appear and set everything in order once and for all. What the sacrifice of bulls and lambs did every year was small. What Christ did was once and for all. And he gives us, as sons and daughters, the permission to be what he has designated and designed us to be, to walk where he has given us to walk, and to live the life he has created us to live. The only one that can stop you and I from walking in his best is us, by rejecting the gift of finished. What the enemy wants you to do is to walk and believe that it is not available to you, that the life that God has is not available to you. He wants sin to remind you and to condemn you and say you'll never get to the place and the purpose that God has for your life because you have been pulled away and drawn away from the finished work of Christ. But God is saying to us tonight, he says, when it is finished, he says, the only thing you have to do now is receive it. You need to walk in it. You need to receive. And when we come off the line and when we step off the line, God says, I will give you a path to get back into the finished work that I have provided for you. He says, the will for your life is perfect. It is good and it is perfect. Which brings me to the last of the three steps is this. We must rest in the finished work. When Jesus says it was finished, it was more than just finished. My brothers and sisters, he finished in victory. What I love about this study is the detail of each word he gives and the details that surround the crucifixion. The writer could have just said, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, could have just said, he died and he rose again. But no, the writer takes details and to put the pieces in place. He does that because he wants us to see something I think is incredible in understanding this finished work. The Bible says that when he saw that the scripture was fulfilled, then these steps took place. He waited to die so that they could cast lots. He waited to die so that he could drink the vinegar. He waited to die until he could give away his mother. He waited to die until all these things have been completed. Why? Because the prophecy says that all of this would happen. Now you might ask, why do I think this is so exciting? Why do I shout about this part? Because of this. Jesus rebuked death until every word and every letter of the prophecy is fulfilled. In other words, he says, I will not die. I will not let death take me until everything that has been promised is fulfilled. He pushes back death until every promise of God concerning the crucifixion has been fulfilled, has been completed. And after every promise has been fulfilled, it is then he says, it is finished, and he gives up the spirit. By declaring the finished work of God, he is not just declaring it is over, he is declaring victory in its completion. He has won the victory all by himself. He has conquered everything, and in his declaring, we can now rest in his victory. Jesus is not going to give you the victory of your life. He has already secured victory in our lives, and you and I are simply resting in it. Let me leave you with this story. I am fascinated about space travel. Those that know me, I've been excited about the space shuttle. One of the greatest opportunities in my life is I got a chance to go to Florida and see the space shuttle. I'm a big space shuttle fan. I like Star Trek, Star Wars, and all of these space movies. Since I was a child, I have wanted to go to space. I've looked up to the stars. I've looked through telescopes, and I've loved space. Don't like flying, but I love space. The difficulty, though, with space travel is the pull of gravity. You see, it takes about $1 million to lift each ton into space. So for any long space travel, it becomes prohibitively expensive because you've got to get supplies to you got to have supplies with the, with those that are traveling in space. So it is obvious that when we're talking about space, you need to have water, you need to have food. If you're going to have long time, but you need to have things up there. And for every ton, every bit of water that you take, you've got to have it costs to do it, prohibitive. So scientists have come up with this interesting way of getting around that, because you can see you can send supplies into space relatively expensive as long as you don't have people with it. So what space experts have done is they have decided what we can do for long range travel is to send the supplies into space before the people, because you can send it cheaper than the shuttle with the people. So the plan was to send supplies, send water, send food, send tools into space first, and then after it gets there, you can send the people into space, and they would just simply get there, and the stuff was already there. Everything they need has been placed before them, and so they are simply just getting to where their supply is. When Jesus declares it is finished, he is telling us that he has sent everything you and I need into our future. He has gone before us. He has supplied every need, and everything that you need has already been pushed before you. Healing has been put before you. Deliverance has been already supplied. Your bills tomorrow have already been paid. His answers to your question have already been answered. Your prayers are simply grabbing hold of what God has already finished in your life, and they are all found in this, catch this, Jesus alone. So when sinful and doomed to a life of despair, no light on my pathway to shine, 'twas Jesus who found me and made me an heir to mansions of glory divine. I'm happy with Jesus alone. I am happy with Jesus alone. Though poor and deserted, thank God I can say I'm happy with Jesus alone. Why? Because Jesus has finished it all. God bless you.